Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are we excited about Jesus this morning? Oh, come on, come on, come on. I know it's early. I know it's Sunday, but are we excited about Jesus this morning? Yeah. So listen, the song we're going to sing this morning is a song called More Than Able. And it just talks about how God is truly able to do more than we could ever think or imagine. In fact, the Bible tells us that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And so this morning, as we worship our God, I hope that you get whatever it is in your mind, whatever it is in your spirit, whatever it is that you are believing God for, or if it's just something that you may have even doubted that God can do, trust in the truth this morning that he is more than able. Can we celebrate Jesus this morning? More than able. there's a place in the song that says, can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? And here's why that's important, right? Because the Bible tells us that all it takes is the faith the size of a mustard seed, right? But Pastor, what I love is that the Bible never said that that's where the faith has to stay. And at some point, a seed has to grow, yeah? So at some point, our faith has to go from this small mustard seed to growing into something that we can use, to growing into something that not only works for us, but bleeds into the person beside us. So can we do something this morning? Can you put your hands on the person beside you in any way, shape, or form? And I ask that you begin to pray. Pray of faith, a prayer of belief for the person beside you. Because if you know what God can do just from your faith alone, imagine what your faith can do for the person beside you. Imagine what your faith can do for the family beside you. So right now in this moment, can we just lift up a prayer for the person beside us? Father, I thank you for my brother and my sister on my left. Father, I thank you for my brother and my sister on the right. Father, I thank you that whatever it is that they're believing you for, that you are more than able. God, thank you for the promise that you are able to do exceedingly, that you are able to do abundantly, that you are able to do above all that we can ask or think. Father, I thank you that whatever it is that we're standing in the gap for right now, that you are doing it, not because we deserve it, not because of what we've done, but God, because you're good. God, because you're our Father. God, because you love us. God, because you care about us. God, because you didn't bring us this far to leave us. God, because you're awesome. God, because you're mighty. God, because you're holy. God, because without you we wouldn't live. God, because you're good. God, because you're good. And right now, in the name of Jesus, 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 cancer is cast out. In the name of Jesus, disease leaves now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you are more than able. We believe you to be more than able. You are still God. You are still a Savior. You are still a healer. You are still a deliverer. You are still a way maker. You are still sovereign. You are still holy. Oh, come on, he's moving. He's moving, don't stop pushing. He's moving, don't stop pushing. He's still moving, he's still saving, he's still delivering, he's still setting free. He's doing it now as you lift your hands. He's doing it now as you worship. He's doing it now, he's doing it now. God, you are awesome. God, you are still mighty. God, you are still sovereign. God, we thank you for being God. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being more than able. 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 Is able to do. Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the bodies that he's healed? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the hearts he's mending? Oh God, can you imagine the marriages he's saving? all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do. And the good news is, it's gonna happen. That's guaranteed. That's not something we have to guess about. That's not something to be unsure of. It's gonna happen. And I know that it may not feel like it. I know that you may not see it. I know that it's hard to believe. But according to the word of God, it's gonna happen. It's still 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 gonna happen. Yeah, that I'm on foot. It's still gonna happen. 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 Woo!
Story. You're not done with me yet.
After this story. glory.
There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me. Yet.
You're not done with me. Some of us needed to hear that this morning, that our story's not over, that divorce didn't make me, that abortion didn't take me out, that this cancer didn't destroy me, because he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. You might see one thing, but my Father's not done with me yet. You might see brokenness, but my Father's not done with me yet. There is still so much more to your story. I speak life back into you in the name of Jesus. That you will not die here. That he that began a great work in you will finish it until he comes. I speak life over you in the name of Jesus. 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 He's not done. Just one more thing. Just know God is able to do just what he said he would do. And he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. So please don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. Sing, God. Just what he said.
Just what he said.
Can you imagine? With all of the faith, he's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
every promise.
Every
to you.
Promise to you.
Oh, don't give up.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a hunger and thirst in this place that's immeasurable. righteousness is a buffet that can never be totally consumed. Righteousness is so fulfilling that the impossible becomes possible. And your hunger and your thirst touches heaven and brings all good things to earth. The light appears and the darkness dispenses, because you have hungered and thirsted today. He's more than able. Far more than able. I want to share one, my favorite miracle that I experienced in Mexico. Was a little 8-year-old girl. Her father had died just over a year ago. Her mother's in the United States, and her grandmother brought her to me. After all the service was over, a lady shows up with these two little children. I'd been praying for people for hours till everybody had just about left. And this 8-year-old child was born deaf. And God opened her ears. You don't know how humbling this stuff is, but your hunger and your thirst will get you to that place.
More than able, yes, Jesus, you are more than able. God, you are more than able. You can do it. You are
expectant. Amen. What you came looking for, you can find here today. It's here. It's here. All you have to do is appropriate it. It was provided over 2,000 years ago, and it's waiting for you. Can you imagine what can happen when a group of unified believers get together? Could we actually hear sounds from heaven? And could fire fall? And could men be drawn under this place? And men and women, boys and girls, could be saved by the thousands. We're on the edge. We're on the edge. Stay where you are. Don't give up. God is more than able. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really pray that you are expectant today. I really do. Because the application of your faith is all it requires. Just take your little tiny seed and use it today, and your mountains will be guaranteed to be moved. Amen, amen. Well, it's a time of the morning that we want to receive our tithes and offerings. I want you to think about one mighty principle. A seed is guaranteed to get a response. It is guaranteed. And as long as the earth endures, it will work. That's the promise of God. And only a sower deserves a harvest. And your seed is a baby harvest. So as you plant today, whether you're online at home or you're doing it electronically here in the house, or you're going to bring your gift forward, just know that you are guaranteed a response from God. Are we going to sing a song during here? You are. Okay. Just making sure. Well, I'm going to ask you just to come on forward, bring your gift, and worship as you give. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I have another privilege, and that's introducing our guests this morning who were here back in December 2021. Is that correct? So you've met them before, and this is their last itinerary stop before they go back to the Philippines. So we have this morning with us Lindsay and Moon Choi, and I'm just going to let them tell you about the excitement that is taking place in their lives, and we're going to be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. What an amazing church this is. We are so privileged to be here with you again. We were here back, like Pastor Mike said, in 2021, and we were expecting our third baby at the moment, who's back there with Pastor Sydney. You might hear her squawking a little bit, but that's all right. So we are privileged to be back here with you this morning. We thoroughly enjoy your worship. Just the spirit of this place, as soon as we walked in the doors, we could feel it. And so thank you, Pastor Wallace, for this time that we can share. We're going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do when we get back to the Philippines. We lived there before for several years, and now we're getting ready to go back with our three kids this time, so it'll be a little bit different than it was before. But I'm going to let my husband start. He's going to share a story about what changed his heart when we were in the Philippines, how God gave him the heart of a missionary. And that story really illustrates the need that we are going to the field to meet. So I'll let him tell his story.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm from Korea. Yeah, my hair color is a little bit different. My face is different. Yes, I'm short. I have a story to share. I was called as a missionary when I was young, but I didn't want to follow the vision for a long time. Then finally, I had a moment that I wanted to obey, finally, to what he wanted. So finally, I landed in the Philippines, and I was there for 6 years. Now, during that time, I had a couple of chances to work for the Korean churches. The one major church that I had worked with, and then it was Wednesday night service. And to go to the service, I called a taxi. And then the taxi driver picked me up from the campus. So on the way to the church, the taxi driver asked two questions. The first, he said, are you Korean? Oh, yes, I'm Korean. How did you know that? Right? And then he said, oh, are you a pastor? Oh, yeah, I'm pastor. He asked that question because he knew everybody in town knows that people live in that APTS, a campus. They are either missionaries or the teachers, pastors, somehow they are related to ministry. So he asked that question to me. So, oh yeah, I'm a pastor. And he said that, oh, would you please come to our church and share the gospel? That's what he said. When he said our church, the church is not this kind of church. Probably it's church, a house church with the church members are just his family members maybe. And either that church or maybe just concrete on the floor, a skeleton, no water, no electricity, no fancy musical instrument whatsoever, no music system, no sound system. They don't have many things, but they have people. They have people and who they want to know about Jesus, and they are ready to be trained, to be discipled, and to be following Jesus. That's what they want. Honestly, they want kind of money, and they want the realistic that you need for your life. But what they really want is to know Jesus. And my wife will explain a little bit more.
So what we're going to do when we go back to the field this time is we're going to be teaching in local Bible schools after we do 1 year of language learning first. So please pray for us. I'm still trying to get Korean after 8 years of marriage, and now we're going to add another language on top of that. But we're going to do that because some of you in here are probably bilingual. You know how it feels when somebody speaks to you in your heart language, right? Your mother tongue. You know it's just a different feeling. We want the people in the Philippines to know how invested we are in meeting them where they are. We're not going to make them speak English to us all the time, we want them to know, hey, we're trying to really understand you and to see where you live, how you live, all of that. So we're going to take 1 year for that. After during that year, we'll be praying about which Bible school to go to. There are several in the Philippines, and they always need more teachers. So we've been asked, actually, by the general superintendent of the AG in the Philippines. He said the biggest need they have for missionaries coming in is for qualified teachers to go into their Bible colleges and teach, basically, lay pastors. So the story that Moon shared of the taxi driver, there are a lot of taxi drivers and grocery store clerks and people who are working in all these other jobs who on Sundays gather a group of people either in their homes or in, like he said, just a skeleton of a building, just a place where they can meet. And some of those pastors are pastors because they were the only ones in their group with a Bible, or they're the ones who've been a Christian the longest, or they were the only one who is willing, maybe. And I'm sure Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, I'm sure that they have talked about this before. It's very important that we communicate the clear, pure truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happens in the Philippines, because there are a lot of tribal groups, there's a lot of animism, there's a lot of paganism, and it is very closely tied to the culture. So what happens is somebody gets saved, they get this passion for Jesus, they want to reach their own people, but they're not exactly sure how to go about that because they have all these ideas from the different religions around them, you know, syncretism, all these things kind of get mixed up. And so there's some interesting, shall we say, interesting theologies that get passed around. We want to go in and equip these people who have that heart and the passion for their own people. We want to say, hey, we were given the great opportunity to get some education and some training. Now we want to pass that along to you. Because the thing is, those Filipino leaders, they look and sound and eat and live just like the unreached in their country. We have some barriers that we have to get over. We don't look like them. We're going to be learning their language, but we won't be perfect at it. And so those are kind of barriers. But there are people who are very close who can reach out and who know effective ways to reach out already to the 5 million unsaved people in their own country. There's one thing that they lack, and that is the thing that God has given to us. So it's always really amazing to me how where there's a need, God has equipped people in another place with that thing that's needed. We are going only because God has told us to go and because he has given us the specific thing. He has given us the specific thing that the people in the Philippines need. Please excuse us. We have some separation anxiety going on here. At least you'll remember us, right? So we are going to equip the local leaders in the Philippines to reach their own people with the pure truth. That's right. We get emotional about it. The pure truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we so appreciate Pastor Mike, Pastor Wallace. We know you guys have been praying for us ever since we were here a year and a half ago. And we so appreciate your partnership in prayer. And we just ask, as we're leaving here in a few weeks, May 17th, hopefully, we ask that you just keep us in your prayers as we're going to help equip amazing, passionate men and women who can then go and reach the unreached in very efficient, effective ways. Please pray for us as we finish our traveling. And you guys, your prayers are helping us go. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We think of the Philippines as a very small little country, but it's a country of 7,000 islands. And to get the pure, unadulterated truth to 7,000 islands, that's a task. And we want to be a part of fulfilling the call that is upon this family's life. So I'm going to ask you this morning to prepare another seed and give you an opportunity and think about the men and women, the boys and girls who will get saved because you have participated in partnering with reaching 7,000 islands. Let's pray. Father, right now, with all of our heart, we pray your blessings upon Lindsay and Moon and these three precious little girls. We ask you, Lord, to make every door that needs to be open, open wide, that nothing would hinder them and nothing would hinder the truth of your gospel. We ask you to use them mightily, that the evidence of your presence would always be there. And we ask, Lord, that their every financial need will be totally met and every unexpected need met ahead of time. Now we give you praise and we pray your blessing upon our sacrifice today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, church. Come on. Rejoice in the Lord. Come on. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph today. Come on. Bigger, better, stronger, greater. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. What are you believing for today? Hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, not defeat. Triumph. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord today. Strong God, big God. Hallelujah. Hey, you ever remember when you were a kid and you got in a little tussle with other kids and you threatened them with what with your daddy? Come on. My daddy's bigger than you. Come on. You ever remember that? I did that. Amen. That's what you can do today. Amen. Gloria, Gloria, Gloria. The Lord just gave me a word for you this morning as I was worshiping. I thought, I don't even know if she's here. But God is stretching your faith. In fact, in the last few weeks, there was a season when you was like, yeah, God, right, okay? If I missed this, now tell me, just embarrass me in front of my friends, okay? But you were like, yeah, God, you're going to do it right. You had a little bit of an attitude like God wasn't going to come through. But I'm telling you, Ephesians 3:20 is your word today. We quote it a lot, but God is saying to you, Gloria, Gloria, Gloria. I am doing, say doing, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that Gloria could ask, think, or imagine. What you've been waiting for, and I don't know what that is, what you've been waiting for is really already done, okay? You just haven't seen the fruit of it yet. Does this make sense to you today? You just haven't seen the fruit of it. But get ready. He's going to open heaven in your behalf. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. He's going to open heaven in your behalf. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today, God, with a deep sense of gratitude in our hearts. Worshiped, we thank you, God, that we have released words from our mouth today, songs from our spirit that all have to do with faith. I thank you for the faith of the choice, God. That there was a season in their lives, God, when you spoke about missions. And on the 17th of May, that speaking has become a reality. The Philippines is awaiting, God, the choice. And thank you, God, for the honor, the privilege, the joy that we have to take hands with them, to join hearts with them, to partner with them, to do the work of the ministry in the Philippines. And God, I thank you. For the souls that shall be saved, disciples that shall be taught, ministers that shall be released because of a little seed sown right here. And not just here, but in the multitude of other churches that have said, we want to help you. We speak peace and blessing, favor and protection over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, high five somebody before you're seated. We're so glad you're here. So glad you're here. Come on, give it up for the worship team today. Thank you guys for leading us in worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. I hope you're ready for the word today. Amen. Hope you're ready to receive from God. Don't forget, 2 o'clock today, there's a funeral here, the celebration of the life of Rose White, who was a part of this church for so many years, faithful to God. We're going to talk about that faithfulness today when we gather together with her. Look at that. Come on, Rose. Come on, girl. She used to sit right over here. Amen. Rosa Gay White will celebrate her life today. Matter of fact, you know what? That's a blessing right there, Elaine. That can go down. That's the first person who's gone on to be with the Lord that showed up on the LED wall. Come on. That's good, isn't it? Amen. You made it, Rose. You had a trophy there. I want to speak to you today about monumental faith. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, monumental faith. That's not a word you use in your vocabulary very much. That's not a word you use. You might tell your mama, hey, I want a monumental size of macaroni and cheese, mama. Come on. I want a monumental steak tonight, you know, about 6 o'clock on the grill. Come on. Now, you know what monumental means? Somebody say great, okay? Monumental faith. We're going to talk about monumental faith. I marvel at the continuity between what has already happened in the service and what God has deposited into my spirit. Because, you know, these guys are trusting me each week. They ask me, you know, Monday or Tuesday, hey, what are you preaching? You know, when I got this message, somebody say, please, see, Pastor, when did you get this message? Last Sunday. Okay, as soon as the service was over, leaving the church, heading home, the Lord spoke to me about monumental faith. I thought you kept a calendar. I do. You know, when I looked on the calendar, you know what it said? Faith. I said, okay, God, I got this. I'm going to trust you. Monumental faith. Today, your life will be impacted not by me, but by the Word of God. Okay? Monumental faith. Some of you are saying, monumental. Yes, monumental, because monumental is an adjective. You remember in school you learned what a noun was. It was a person, place, or thing. And then you wanted to use a word to describe the thing, like if you were talking about me. Somebody say buff. Come on. Amen. Somebody say he's a brute. Come on. Hey, listen, say good things about me all you want to. If you say something negative, I'll know it. All right? But an adjective describes a thing, all right? Are you with me? Monumental faith. After all, the Bible speaks about monumental faith. We'll talk about that momentarily. But monumental is a powerful word. It means great in terms of importance, extent, or size. Amen? You ever gone through a drive-thru and they say, hey, you, give me a number one? And she's not just happy with that. You said, hey, I want a number one with, you know, whatever. And you said, what did she say? What size? Supersize it. That's right, supersize it. That's why your belly is supersized right now, okay? All right. That's why your legs are supersized and your chest is supersized, because you've been doing some supersizing, amen? So monumental means great, all right? In terms of importance, extent, or size. And the Bible actually speaks about, here we go, great faith. Okay? How many of you read the Bible besides me? Come on. Yet it also speaks about little faith. Okay? We've even had reference this morning to the reality of what God's Word says, that it only takes faith as the grain of a mustard seed, and you can speak to mountains, and they're supposed to do what? Move. Okay? Faith has levels. The Bible speaks of great faith. The Bible speaks of little faith. And the Bible speaks of, guess what? No faith. This thing began to minister to me just this past week, and I kept on going and going and saying, Lord, what are you trying to say? Monumental faith. We're going to be on this for a couple of 3 weeks. Okay? Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he came across a Canaanite woman, a pagan woman. She was trying to discover who she was, what her purpose was. But she cries out and she says, I'm in Matthew 15. We'll get there in a moment. She cries out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay? She's wanting the mercy of the Lord because she's struggling with something here. This woman is struggling. She goes on to tell Jesus that she has a daughter that's demonized. Okay? She has a daughter that is demon-possessed, and she's crying out to the Lord. But here's the interesting thing. I find this to be quite interesting. She's crying out to the Lord, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And guess what Jesus does? Nothing. Okay? Matthew 15. Jesus, the Bible says this explicitly. Jesus didn't answer a word. How many of y'all have had moments like that before where Jesus just didn't answer a word? So his disciples come over to him. They get involved in the reality of what's going on. The disciples come over to him and they said, Master, just send this woman away, for she keeps crying out to us also. Now some of you might say, man, I can't believe that the ministry team of Jesus would send this woman away, would just say, get out of here. And then some of you might say this, I can't believe that Jesus didn't at least respond to her. Well, he did, just not right away, okay? The spirit in this woman, listen, let me just ask you a question. Do you have moments where the devil just gets on your nerves? Come on. You know, like, you mean again? You know, do you have those moments when you just say, man, are you serious? How many of you had those moments when you just come out of a service like this and your faith is inspired and you feel like you can move mountains, come on, and then all of a sudden you come to the reality and it's Monday again, you got to meet that boss at work or work for that company, come on. And then you say, oh, really? Sometimes the devil just gets on your nerves, your last nerve. And the spirit in this woman, one translation puts it like this. The spirit in this woman, quote, I'm quoting the scripture, was bothering the disciples and driving them crazy. The spirit in this woman was bothering the disciples and driving them crazy. I have to tell you that there's been times when I've come into this place, and I'm usually on the front row, and I'm worshiping God, and I will sense something in the spiritual realm. And I'll look, and there'll be a demonic manifestation going on. And I'll say, come on, Lord, really? That's what I'll say. My wife and I have looked at each other sometimes, and she said, one of those days. He said, man, what are you talking about? Listen, to whom much is given, much is required, okay? So you may be enjoying the service on a different level than me, but sometimes I've been in the middle of worship, just like we've had a powerful worship service this morning, and I might see a demonic manifestation going on, and I'm just saying, Lord, come on, not today. And I get a little frustrated. So I understand what we're talking about when Jesus just didn't answer. I understand the disciples' demeanor when they just said, listen, send this woman away, Jesus. We don't have time to mess with this kind of stuff today. And then I finally have a willingness to say, okay, God, set her free. Set him free, God. Do what you have to do. Give them liberty in the spirit realm in Jesus' name. So this woman persists. As you read the story, this woman persists and enters into further dialogue with Jesus, and she presses into him on the matter. And Jesus finally says to her, look at it in Matthew 15, verse 28, woman, you have what? Great faith. Woman, you have great faith. Notice that the Bible teaches us here that she was a woman of what? Persistence. She was a woman of persistence. She kept on. She was not going to stop until she got some resolve with this thing. And Jesus commends her and says, woman, verse 28, you've got great faith. And the Bible says that Jesus said to her, your request is granted, and her daughter was healed right there at that moment. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Her daughter was healed at that moment. So the Bible talks about great faith, and the Bible also talks about little faith. Muy poquito, right? It's a very tiny faith, amen? Little faith, very little faith. Matthew 8 has Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee. I can see that in my mind's eye. I'm standing on the banks of the Galilee here, looking across to the other side. The Bible refers to it as the other side. And Jesus had crossed that so many times. And he is out on the water. And in Matthew's Gospel chapter 8, as he's crossing, the Bible has Jesus doing something on the rough surface of the sea that probably would be hard to do for you and I. But what is he doing? He's sleeping. He's resting. He's napping. He's retreating. He's sleeping well, even though all around him, in the context of where they were, there was a storm. But the disciples are frantic, and they cried out, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" There's a sense of desperation in her voice. And Matthew 8:26 says this. He replied, "You of little faith." Listen, this is his ministry team. This is the staff here, okay? Pastor so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so. This is the team that works closest with him, more close than anybody else. And Jesus says to them, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up, and the Bible says that he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was what? Completely calm. So we have examples from scriptures on great faith, and we have examples from scripture on little faith. And the Bible even talks about, one step beneath that, no faith. You say, I've never read that one before. Yes, you have. It's found in Hebrews 11, verse number 6, first part of it. I call it 6a. What does it say? It says, "And without faith." When you have without faith, how much faith do you have? None. Without faith equals no faith. But we want to talk about monumental faith today, faith that is important in the terms of importance, extent, and size. I believe that you and I are experiencing something right here in Ahoskie, North Carolina in 2023 that is a result of someone's increasing faith, someone's monumental faith, someone's great faith to say, "God, I'm not going to be happy until I see in this city an open heaven." I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing about the bang bang. I'm tired of hearing about the shootings. I'm tired of hearing about the killings. And the only thing that's going to stop that is a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. You can take a gun from somebody, but you cannot stop people from killing other people. Guns are not the problem. It's the person who possesses the weapon. We need a move of God that transforms the very terra firma where we live. What is that? The earth, the surface, the land that we walk upon. We need a move of Almighty God in this city that will change and transform this place like nothing ever has before. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need monumental faith. We've seen the Spirit of God move powerfully here since the turn of 2023, so that up until last Sunday, we had 35 people saved. This week, Rico led someone to Christ over the phone, over the internet, led someone to Jesus Christ, sent me the text, "Hey, Pastor, just led someone to faith. You might want to reach out to her." Connected her with Krista, got her a relational thing going on here. Why? Because people are dying to receive Christ if you will just but present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Folks don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven. Come on, somebody. They want to go to heaven. It ought to bother you that there's an empty seat beside you. It ought to bother you that there's someone got shot, two people killed yesterday. It ought to bother you to the point that you will not be satisfied until you bombard heaven with your prayers. God, save the lost. God, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in this city. God, set me up with divine opportunities that I might share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody today. Come on. God's called you to share the gospel. Monumental faith. Increasing faith. We've seen God move here. We've seen God do incredible things. I was on the phone Monday because it's our job, our task, our assignment to follow up on people when they get saved. Don't just get people, when you catch a fish, you don't just throw it in the boat. No, you take it home. You cook it. You prepare it. You put spices on it. You enjoy it. Or either you put it on the wall and say, I caught that one over, you know. You know? But you do something with the fish. And so when you get people saved, you can't just say, well, we got another one saved today. I hope they make it. No. Someone on the telephone Monday night. Hello. Hey, Anthony, this is Pastor Wallace. Hey, Pastor Wallace. I said, hey, man, I just want to congratulate you. I wanted to call you and congratulate you for making a decision for Christ. Anthony replied, Pastor, I am changed. I thought, oh, whoa, okay. He said, I am changed. He said, I just feel like the entire weight of the world has been lifted off of my shoulders. Anthony is one of the 35 people that have given their heart to Jesus Christ right here in this facility since January. I said, Anthony, when I saw that your last name was Finney, Anthony Finney, I said, I got so excited. I said, Charles Finney was a great revivalist of the 19th century. We done got us a Finney. Look out, devil. We're going to put somebody on the loose whose last name is Finney. You know, and it's not my responsibility to call Anthony into the ministry. But guess what? I got good news for you. If you ever came from darkness to light, you're called into the ministry, okay? You have been given both the ministry and the message, come on, of reconciliation, reconciling other people to Jesus, whether they ever call you Pastor Anthony or Evangelist Anthony, or here's one everybody likes today, Apostle. I know a lot of people who are called apostles and ain't apostling nothing, okay? Ain't apostling a thing. Got you, your four, and no more, your family, and that's it. Sign, look, like you hand-painted it and put it in the front yard. You're open for business, but nobody's getting saved. Well, let me get off my high horse for just a second. God has called us to transform this community. 35 souls. Listen, I know we don't live in Raleigh or Charlotte. I got that. But 35 people since the first of the year? Come on. Last Sunday, my daughter texted us on the way home from church here. She said, Dad, you wouldn't believe it. Last Sunday, somebody say last Sunday, Focus Church, Raleigh, North Carolina, 138 salvations. Come on. 138. I pulled out my telephone and I texted the pastor, man, come on, congratulations. Look at what God is doing. We need to learn to rejoice with others when God blesses them. Not be jealous, not be all upset like, why in the world can't we get a house full? No, 138 salvations. You know what they're doing today? They're baptizing 138 people, and Chick-fil-A is visiting all four locations. Free food for everybody. Man, that's a different approach for the church, isn't it? Chick-fil-A. They don't work on Sunday. They did on Saturday, okay? Somebody cooked some chicken yesterday, okay? So today, Chick-fil-A, all four campuses. Shout out to Pastor Mike Santiago, Focus Church, breaking200.com. Amen. Love you, Pastor Mike. And the reason I'm saying that is because I know you watch my sermons. Amen. I know you're listening to me. Love that guy. Amazing guy. 138 salvations Easter Sunday. He's a mentor of mine. I've enjoyed spending time with him, sitting down with him. I've enjoyed watching him, receiving from him. You say, well, Pastor, I thought a mentor was supposed to be older than you. You're 62, right? Yeah, how old is Mike? He's in his 40s. But he's a mentor to me. Listen, I don't meet with him every week. You don't have to meet with your mentors. But you have to engage with them some kind of way. All right? 138 souls. And I think you'd have to be agreeable to me that God is doing something unique in this house. Come on. Every week. Layer upon layer. That's right. Layer upon layer. Precept upon precept. God is doing incredible things among us. And listen to me, church. Your faith. Somebody say your faith. Your faith. Look at your neighbor and tell them, your faith. Your faith, my faith, our faith will determine, don't miss this, will determine how much of what you see God do in the future in this community. Your faith, my faith, God is depending upon us to stretch out our hands in faith, stretch out our hearts in faith, and reach out in faith to see him do what men say is impossible. Change this place. I remember several years ago, a man came up to me. I've been here 31 years. At that time, I'd probably about 20 years. And I won't call his name, but he came to this church for a while, and he loved it, and him and his wife reached a place where he retired. And he came up to me, and he slapped me on the back. He said, "Pastor Wallace, I love you, man." He said, "But can I save you some trouble?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Go ahead and cut your losses." I said, "What?" He said, "Go ahead and cut your losses. A Husky's never going to be anything." I said, "Brother, I beg to differ with you." I said, "I'm only here for one reason. I'm only here because God, by his power, by his authority, has positioned me and called me to this place. And I refuse to step out of his will and try to do it somewhere else for a little more money or a better situation. I'd rather be smack dab in the middle of God's will anytime." Come on. And I beg to differ with you. I believe God is going to pour out his spirit upon Ahoskie, North Carolina. And I believe we're experiencing right now a divine down outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we haven't seen anything yet, honey. We're going to see the dead brought to life. We're going to see lives transformed. We're going to see people healed by the power of God. People filled with the Holy Spirit. And missionaries saying, standing up and saying, "Hey, God's called me to the Philippines." I believe that. It's going to happen. I watched several of our young people last night when asked if they were willing to go on a short-term mission trip. Raise your hand. Every hand in the building. Every hand around the table just raised right up. "I'm willing to go." Can I tell you something? That doesn't happen except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen to me, church. Your faith, my faith, our faith will determine what you see God do in the weeks, months, and years ahead. You don't have to argue whether or not God is moving. He is moving. But what you see accomplished in the realm of the salvations, the healings, the spirit baptisms, and the like, it's largely a result of someone's faith. That's what we're talking about today. I was talking with a pastor just this past week. Eye to eye, face to face. I'm talking to him. Hey, he asked me, "Hey, man, must be things going good at your church. I've been seeing how God's, you know, saving people. Saw y'all baptized about 20 folk on one Sunday." So I was kind of like, my wife wasn't with me. Sometimes she'll help me with that and say, "Hey, give them a moment to talk." So he's asking me questions, I'm answering. Then I just stopped. You'd be so proud of me, Joy. I just stopped. Then I said, "Hey, I want to ask you a question, Pastor. How's it going in your church?" He said, "Well, this is what discourages me a little bit." He said, "Well, it was going good, but," he said, "the Holy Spirit's kind of backed off." I heard y'all's stomach drop. He said, "Let me just tell you what he said." He said, "It was going fairly well, but the Holy Spirit is kind of backed off." The Holy Spirit's not backed off, my friends. The Holy Spirit, ever since the beginning, I love this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered. He just hovered over the expanse called terra firma. God created the heavens and the earth. And God's presence filled the earth. Can I just tell you something? God's presence is still filling the earth. And God wants to move more than you ever thought you wanted him to move. God is moving. God is not backed off. God is calling people. God is raising up people. God is saving the lost. God is filling people with the Holy Spirit. God has not stopped moving. Who has stopped moving? You and I. People, humanity, have stopped moving. God's not backed off. The Spirit has not backed off, and the Spirit has not slowed down. Now, we might have, but he has not. Come on. What I'm trying to say to us is that in the spiritual realm today, God honors monumental faith. There's never been a more important time for us as the people of God right now, moving out of this crazy pandemic season, post-pandemic season, to respond and to demonstrate faith, active faith, hope-filled faith, joyful faith, fearless faith. Fearless faith. I stood in the yard of another pastor here just a few weeks ago. He stood about 12 feet from me. I was like, hey, I thought, man. And every time I stepped forward to him, guess what he did? He stepped back. He had a mask on his face. Okay? If you're wearing a mask, don't be offended. Just hear me. He's got a mask on his face. I said, hey, man, how's the church going? And this is what he said to me. He said, well, we haven't, and we're standing outside the church. He said, well, we haven't been in the church since COVID. I said, what? We haven't been in the church since COVID. I said, you haven't been in the building since COVID. I said, brother, COVID is gone. No, it's not. I said, for me it is. Okay. COVID is gone, man. You mean to tell me as a Christian leader you're going to posture yourself with hanging around talking about COVID? No, sir. No, sir. What am I talking about? I'm talking about faith in the man named Jesus. I'm talking about faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about faith in the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. I'm talking about faith in the one who moves mountains. I'm talking about faith in the one who raises people from the dead. This same Spirit shall dwell in you. Amen? I'm not studying COVID. I'm not studying that kind of thing. Why? Because I'm not going to bow myself to fear. I'm going to stand forward in faith and watch God do immeasurably more than I could even wonder or imagine. Faith is so important. Faith is so essential. You know why I know it? Because Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this. Listen, you can't even be saved without faith. Hear me. You can't even be saved without faith. Pastor, why do you say that? Here it is right here, okay? For it is by grace you have been what? Saved. Through what? Come on, help me here. Through what? Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. You can't be saved without faith. I'll say this a step further. You can't, not only can you not be saved without faith, you can't see miracles in your life without faith. Okay? Jesus went to his hometown. Listen, he was living where? Nazareth. He went to his hometown, Nazareth. And if there was anywhere that Jesus Christ would have wanted God to do incredible things in his ministry. If there's anywhere that he would like to see faith identified and exemplified and activated, it would have been Nazareth. He wanted to see people touched. He wanted to see people blessed. He wanted to see people healed and delivered. And you had to know it was in his hometown that he wanted to see this person anywhere else. But look at Matthew 13:58. Jesus, and he did not do many miracles. Why? Because there was a lack of faith. Are y'all getting this? There was a lack of faith. In other words, Jesus would have done more, what? Miracles. If there had been more, what? Faith. So you say, Pastor, you're building a case here where a lot of it is dependent upon us. Bingo, check the block. You got the message. Okay. God wants you to have what? Faith. God wants you to have what kind of faith? Little faith? Without faith? No. Great faith. Monumental faith. Let me say this to all of us today. If you and I are not living in active, alive, expectant faith, God will not really accomplish in your life what he desires to do. Matthew 9:27-30. Jesus went on from there, the Bible says. Two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. The Bible says in verse 29, he does what? Then he touched their eyes and he said something. According to your faith. Okay. So I have something to do with it. The answer is what? Yes. According to your faith. Well, I've been to the altar so many times. According to your faith. Okay. Let it be done to you. And the Bible says, and their sight was restored according to your faith. This is so important. According to your faith. Your faith, your monumental faith, will result in God moving and God saying and God healing. You're asking. Those of you who are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, those of you who are leaders in the church, those of you who are prayer intercessors, those of you that are ministers that grace this pulpit every Sunday and pray for the sick and pray for the unsaved, you're asking, you're believing that God will move and that God will continue to move. I was speaking with Anthony on the phone the other night, the gentleman I referenced to you earlier. I was so encouraged because this is what he said as we continue the conversation. He said, "Hey, Pastor." He said, "I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and I told him what God had done for me." He just paused. I thought, "But is he okay?" And he was emotional on the other end. He said, "I told him what God had done for me." He said, "Actually, he was in a bad way." "Well, okay, I got it. I've been in a bad way before." He was hanging out with the wrong people. And I just said to him upon his invitation, "Man, I love this. I don't live that way anymore." Okay. Wait a minute, dude. You made a decision on Sunday. And just hours, just days, a couple of days later, you're talking to somebody who gives you an opportunity to fail, and you say, "Man, I don't live that way anymore. I've been saved." Paul said, "You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed and the new has come. I don't live that way anymore." Man, let me tell you what, that is what you and I need, and that is what we expect. Lives changed in this house. Lives transformed at these altars. Lives that go out and tell somebody, "Look what the Lord has done in my life." All of a sudden, we come like the little lady there, the woman at the well, who becomes an evangelist, and she goes around telling everybody, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." You know her life was jacked up. She done had five husbands, and the guy she was sleeping with then in her house was not her husband at all. They were shacking up. Oh, I wish you wouldn't use that word. They were shacking up. I remember a time, I'm not being judgmental, I'm just being factual. I remember a year, somebody say a year. I remember one calendar year in this church, no names called, where six couples who were living together came to me and said, "Pastor, I want to talk to you about getting married." Okay. "I want to talk to you about getting married." Okay. Six couples coming to me saying, "We want to talk to you about getting married." Okay? Because you say, "Well, how did that happen?" Because if you preach the Bible, you just preach the Bible, not the news, okay? Preach the Bible in the power of the Spirit. You know what I've discovered? That God will manifest His Bible in your presence. God will manifest truth in your presence. God will set people free. Preach the Word. And the Bible says signs and wonders will follow it. Amen? Are y'all getting this, or I'm the only one having a good time? Come on. If we'll do this, listen, we'll see the lost come to Jesus. We'll see the bound set free. We'll see miracles happen according to our faith. If there's one thing that the devil will attack in your life, hear this if you don't hear anything else. If there's one thing that the devil will attack in your life, it's going to be your faith. I've heard people say, "Pastor, pray for me. The devil showed up on my job." "Pastor, pray for me. The devil's attacking my marriage." "Pastor, pray for me. The devil's trying to get all in my finances." Listen, whether he attacks your job, your finances, or your whatever, he is always an attack on your faith. Okay? You can call it what you want to. When he attacks you in whatever realm he chooses to do, it is an attack on your faith. Come on, somebody. It's an attack on your faith. "The devil's trying to get in my relationships." No, he's trying to go at your faith. Amen? Always. And the reason he's doing that is because it is your faith that moves mountains. It is your faith that opens heaven. It is your faith that rebukes hell and leads to healing and gives you courage and releases confidence and makes you bold as a lion. Come on. Your faith will do these things. And so he wants to attack your faith. It's your faith that makes you tenacious, gives you a bulldog tenacity. Just want to stand in there, man. Go ahead. Go ahead and attack me if you want to. You know, in my mind, I was standing on the front row this morning. In my mind, the enemy was shooting things at me. I was standing right there worshiping. God, this ain't right. He said, practice what you preach. What? He said, what you preaching today? I said, faith. He said, then live it right there where you stand. I said, okay, Lord, thank you. Have a good day. And so standing right here, you didn't know it, but I was binding devils, casting out strongholds and spirits in Jesus' name. That worship team was just singing. They said, Pastor's liking this. No, I'm fighting demons right here while you stand. You think I'm liking your music. I'm winning right here in the spirit. I'm celebrating a win right here on the front pew standing beside my wife. I said, I'm going to call it done in the name of Jesus. Call it done. Standing right there warring, man. Being bold as a lion, and you didn't know a thing was going on. You wouldn't have known it until I just told you. You say, well, you looked all right, but I was being beat up on the inside. See, that's the way the devil works. But you and I cannot quit because you know that your faith leads you to a faithful God, and faith honors him, and he honors faith. Come on. Faith honors him, he honors faith. Amen. Some of y'all are going to get this after a while. We're working on you. The Apostle Paul understood this well. Paul was at Thessalonica, a town in the northern part of Greece. He spent there 2 weeks, I think the Bible says. 2 weeks he was there. He loved those people that had come to faith under his missions journey. They had come to faith, and so he's gone from there, and he's now blazing the apostolic trail to other places. So he said, listen, I can't do all this. I've got to send Timothy. I've got to send him back over there just to check on my boys in Thessalonica. Come on. And so he sends Timothy. And he's not concerned about whether or not they're wearing jeans or suits or whether or not they're sitting in pews or in metal chairs or whatever. Or whether they're singing hymns or Maverick City music. He's not getting up into any of that stuff, okay? He's concerned about their faith. Look at what it says, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. We sent Timothy, Paul says. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ. Look at what it says. I underscored it for you. To do what? To strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Not to help you pick out chairs. Not to talk to y'all about the way you dress when you go to church. No. I sent him to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. Drop down to verse 5. For this reason, when I couldn't stand it any longer, Paul says. I couldn't stand it any longer. I sent Timothy to do what? To find out about your faith. This guy has risked his life to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's not going to receive a decision at the altar and not follow up on it. He said, for this reason, when I couldn't stand it any longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts could have been useless. If your faith is weak, you're weak. That's precisely why we try to reach out to you, those of you who make a decision. As you have made a decision for Christ, we're going to call you, we're going to text you, we're going to reach out to you. You need to begin to build your faith. Hang out with people of faith. It's impossible to lay down with dogs and not get fleas. You can't. You can't lay down with dogs and not get fleas. So you're going to have to stop hanging where you're hanging. And start hanging out with righteous people, godly people, people who speak in tongues, people who go to church all the time. Okay? Hang with people of faith. Get connected to a small group, a Bible study, but do whatever you have to do to strengthen your faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. Keep on reading down the page. But Timothy has just come to us from you and has brought us good news about what? Your faith. Your faith. Good news. Your faith and your love. Verse number 7, just keep going. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and our persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Drop down to verse 10. Night and day, he said, we pray earnestly that we may see you again. And whenever we see you again, man, we want to come in there and make a deposit. Because why? Because we want to supply what could be lacking in your faith. Okay? I thought it was a wonderful thing today to have the choice here. He said, I already support them. Whatever. I think it's a wonderful thing because the good news is they are already fully funded. They don't need your money today. You say, well, I gave $1,000. Can you get it back? No. Non-refundable. Money given to God is never refundable. Okay? I got a receipt. I don't care if you got two receipts. You're not getting it back. You gave it how? In faith. Okay? So we said last night, hey, you're fully funded. And they just said, we're just so glad we're here to be able to report to the people that we leave on May 17th. And that we're on our journey, we're on our way, and you're a part of it, and we're grateful. And guess what? I'm just so glad that they were here to deposit faith in the hearts of young people. That I too might be a missionary one day. That I too might span the globe preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. I said, listen, this church has an anointing on it for that kind of thing. Pastor Mike goes off 6 times a year, okay? He's here because he wants to be here. God was already doing that work in his heart before he arrived here, but he came here and he serves here tirelessly, and he does a good job trying to inspire other people to get a heart for missions, okay? And this time he brought in the generation of the younger ones and said, hey, I want to inspire you in your faith for missions. And it was a home run. It was a home run. God honors faith. I'm convinced that the most important thing in your walk with God is the maintenance of your faith. All right? You know, we see some folk come, they respond to the altar. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. People come, they come to the altar, they give their heart to Jesus. No return, no water baptism. You want to be baptized? No, I've already been baptized. Okay. No small group, no accountability. Man, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You just listen to me give a delineation. That's a fancy word for list, okay? Give a list. You just saw me give a list of a man named Paul the Apostle who was so willing to talk to the Thessalonican people about their what? About their faith. I just want to check on you. I just want to follow up on you. I sent Timothy down there to you. Why? Because there's something about your life that's important to me. And what is it? Your faith. Are y'all getting this? Are you getting this? How much God cares that you make it in this Christian walk. He wants you to. So dangerous, man. We need each other. That's why I don't understand why some folk just show up only when it's convenient for them. Hey, bro, we've been missing you at Carpenter Shop. Yeah, I know. We was out of town. You out of town more than you in town, bro. Come on. Some of y'all didn't get that. Let me try it over here. Hey, bro, we've been missing you at Carpenter Shop. Yeah, I know. We was out of town. Man, you out of town more than you in town. Well, you know, we took a little trip. Can I just offer you a suggestion? Take your trip on a Monday and a Tuesday. Take a couple of vacation days because that way you can be right back here on a Sunday. Sundays are important because it's a time of gathering of the people of God collectively to inspire their faith. You wouldn't miss that nail appointment. Uh-oh. Okay. You wouldn't miss that pedicure for nothing. But yeah, I'm going to be out of town. You're out of town a lot. Okay? You got to be careful because Sunday is important. Sunday is important. It's a day we set aside to collectively gather and have our faith inspired. Okay? Y'all working me like a dog, man. Working me like a dog. I'm trying to get you to get what I'm saying today. Guard your Sundays. Build your faith. Pastor, you're making a big deal out of this faith issue. Yes, I am. Faith is that which moves you from where you are to your divine destiny that God has assigned to your life. At Carpenter Shout, we say love, win, build, send. We want to help you build your faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by what? The Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God. You build faith by hearing God's Word. And you have no excuse. You got everything right here on your phone. All you got to do is click the Bible app, push play, and the man will read it to you. Okay? You can just ride down the road and stop listening to your stuff and listen to God's Word. The other night, I was by myself. Pastor Joy was keeping grandkids in Raleigh, and I didn't have her to talk to. Somebody say, oh. I didn't have her to talk to, so I just pulled up the Bible app. I just clicked on there, laid it beside my bed. Phone charger was in. I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning, 6 hours later, not to the alarm. The Bible said, what? All night long. But you say, man, that ain't a bad thing, because all night long, my subconscious was getting a download of the Word of God. Come on. All night long. All night long. Some of y'all didn't get that. That's okay. It's all right. All night long. See, you're worldly. You worldly. I got you. I caught you. Okay. I'm supposed to be finished now. Closing this service down, but I ain't done yet, okay? Is that all right? Just a little more. Got some questions for you. Number one, what is faith? What is faith? Well, let's go to the Bible to get the answer to that question. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance, safe substance, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. NLT, New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that we have what we hope for will actually happen. Somebody say, actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Notice here the emphasis on faith is. Now faith is, not faith was or faith used to be. Faith was something that God manifested for you a long time ago. Faith is means faith is alive and active. Notice the emphasis on is. Faith is not faith was, it's faith is. Means that faith is an active word. It's moving, it's progressing, it's seeing ahead already into the unknown and even the uncertain. To say that faith is active means something is coupled with it. Faith and hope, faith and love, faith and obedience, faith and works. The writer of Hebrews tells us this, that the faith is the confidence. King James says it's the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. But when faith begins to experience in the supernatural realm the reality of something that may not really be as of yet, but you can see it through your spiritual eyes. When I was having my battle in the demonic world there this morning on the front row, the Holy Spirit quickened me, and I just said, Lord, I just call it done. In Jesus' name, it's over with. And I just said, I lay it down. And I just laid it down. And I'm not going to say a negative thing about it again. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. I just said, it's over with. It's a done deal. It's over with. You say, Pastor Joy knows about what is it? None of your business. Okay? Just don't worry about it. Why? Because it's done. Okay? It's done. It's done. Why? Because I have what? Faith. Faith. You say, you know, hey, Pastor, pray for me. I'm having surgery on the 15th. So I'm believing God for success in this surgical procedure. We prayed. We've asked God. We profess from the life of our tongue, not the death of our tongue. You know, you got both, okay? We profess from the life of our tongue. So we begin to experience, here we go, substance about those feelings. We're declaring a thing. We're speaking into a situation. We've settled it in our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions to take the position, the posture that he is the God that Paul spoke about in Romans 4:17. He was speaking about Abraham. He said, he's the one who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. I'm standing in faith believing God. You're already moving in my behalf. Amen? You're already moving. In the natural, it's no. In the supernatural, it's yes. In the natural, it's Abraham. You'll never be a father. In the supernatural, you're going to need the sand on the beach and the stars in the sky to count your kids. Come on. God's going to use you, brother. You're the father of the faith. You're the father of the faith. This is faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is powerful because faith sees in the spiritual. Faith sees in the supernatural, exactly opposite of what the natural sees. Exactly opposite of what the natural sees. See, the devil wants to wave the natural in your face. Okay, see there? This not going to happen for you, bro. You're going to church in vain. You're up there lifting up your hands and speaking in tongues. Sit down and shut up. Your God's dead. That's what the devil tells you. No. Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the Lord. You know, it's when your faith takes, here we go, substance. How many of you have ever booked a vacation before out in the future? You better do. You ain't going to get one. Okay, you book a vacation ahead. I've already done that. I got a little vacation period coming up in May. When is it? Ain't telling you because you won't come to church sometimes when I'm gone. Okay. Ain't telling you. Okay. Got a vacation booked. You know what? I'm just sitting there talking about it the other day. I was talking to Pastor Joy. Hey. You know we're going off in May, right? You know what I'm doing? That thing's taking substance, man, okay? I booked it already. I already paid for it. I paid for it a year ago. Swipe that card. You done. You done, Mr. Phillips. We'll see you in May. What date? Not saying it out loud, okay? You're done, man. You booked. Got the calendar marked. Moved closer and closer to that date's arrival. I can feel the sand between my toes. I can hear the sound of crashing waves. I can see the seagulls coming to eat my cheese puffs that I'm holding up in the air. I hold them up, man. All the people laying out get mad because they're getting pooped on. I'm holding up my cheese puffs, drawing birds in. Okay. I can taste the shrimp and the scallops and the oysters at my favorite seafood dive. Man, it's only a month away. When is it? Not telling you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying my faith is now even closer. What is it doing? It's taking substance. Are y'all getting this, friends? Listen, you got to believe. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've been believing, but some of y'all sitting here, you're defeated. You're beat up. You just, man, you done been smoked by the devil because you just think it's not going to work out good for you. No. You're a child of the living God. He delights in meeting your needs. He delights in opening heaven for you and pouring out blessings for you. He delights in that. What is happening? Well, you are ascribing substance to a thing ultimately that will become on a reality on May. Not going to tell you when. All right. Y'all think I'm going to slip. I ain't going to slip. This is an example of anticipation. Anticipation. I know what it does. It makes you wait. But you know what? For the Christian, anticipation is faith. And it doesn't make you wait. It makes you build substance into what you're waiting for. Come on, somebody. Waiting. They that wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40, 31. Shall what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Come on, man. With wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never pass out. Why? Because I'm waiting on the Lord. In what? In faith. You're waiting. You're waiting. That's what faith is. That's what monumental faith is. It's great faith. Second question, why is faith important? Glad you asked. Look at verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. This act of faith, according to the message, is what distinguished our ancestors and set them far above the crowd because they had a track record of walking in faith. You're set apart. You're light years ahead of your friends that don't even understand your walk with God, but you live your life in faith. Okay? That's why they never understood you during COVID. Man, what you doing? What you doing? You ain't got a mask on? What you doing, man? You going to the grocery store? No. Yes, I'm living. I'm not shutting myself into some cave like the government wants me to. Half of y'all got that. The other half of you didn't get it. I'm not locking myself up and keeping myself away from other people. I'm getting out into the world. Because why? Because I'm the salt of the earth. A city set upon a hill can never be hidden. I'm out there letting my light so shine before men so they can see my good works that I'm glorifying the Father. I'm strong. COVID has produced a fiery church. COVID has. For the people who did not buckle or bow, their churches are growing. The rest of them, they're closing the doors because they refuse to step it up during the most difficult time of our existence. This is what the ancients were commended for. Who are they? Men and women of faith. Here's one of them, Abraham, Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was what? Looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham moved out in faith. That's why verse 12 says, and so from this one man, and he was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sand on the seashore. Faith is important because faith does not stop when everything in the natural says, this is not going to work. So what do, Pastor? Do you leave when you get all the details and you got all the money in your hand? No. You leave when God says go. I had to live this firsthand experience. Several years ago, God called me. Spoke to me clearly, man. I want you to move to Florida. I want you to move to Florida. Move to Florida. I'm pastoring this church over in Northampton County. Elaine was there. Elaine was like this. All right. I'm pastoring this church, and the Lord said, move to Florida. A wife, two small kids. God spoke to our hearts to move to Florida where we would attend Southeastern University and go to Bible college. I was 27 years old. Joy was 25. About 10 years ago. We had two small kids. Josh was 4. Abby was not even 2. I loaded up a truck with everything I owned. I was broke. I went to Southern Bank in Murfreesboro and talked to a man by the name of Jimmy Eason. I borrowed $1,000. I said, Jimmy said, but you're moving? I said, yeah. He said, you're not going to be here anymore? I said, no. He said, it's a personal loan? I said, yeah, I just need $1,000. Why you need $1,000? I said, because I don't have any money. Okay. And he pulled up my credit. He said, Wallace, I this doesn't make much sense, but yeah, I can lend you $1,000. So he gave me $1,000. I spent 3 of it right quick. Make sure we had a clean slate before we left the area. Had $700 left. I stuck it in a jar and threw it in the freezer in the back of my truck. I filled the back of my truck up with things that we owned and a freezer slammed full of food because I knew when I got there I probably wouldn't have any money to buy any food. Stuck an extension cord on it, stopped halfway in Savannah, Georgia, plugged the extension cord into the motel room so the freezer would stay cold. What you talking about, Pastor? Faith. Faith that God said, Pastor Mike, leave. I remember pulling out of the driveway. My kids were crying. We left things in the yard. I said, hey, you can have the picnic table. Potted plants, you can have those. You know, we were just giving away things. Joy was crying. I was crying. Facing's old tavern. Moving out in faith, Rico. Because God said so. I landed in Florida. I applied and was accepted at a school I never visited. I never went there. I just heard the Lord say, go there. And I went. Had $700. It lasted me a total of 24 hours. By the time I paid a deposit on the apartment, deposit to the electric company, deposit to the water department, rented a machine to clean up that nasty place that we were going to pay for. And at the first end of the first day when I arrived in my new home, I was broke again. Broke. But I had food in a freezer in the back of the truck. And so we ate. And we learned quickly that McDonald's down the street had hamburgers on Sunday for 29 cents. And we bought two of them and asked for three or four cups of water. And we lived like that for a long time. I had one vehicle and I paid $900 for it. It looked so ridiculously ugly. I got an Earl Scheib car wash. That's almost like a drive-through. Some of y'all don't get that. You're not old enough. Just check it out, earlscheib.com, okay? It's where you take your car or your truck to get it painted, and you can literally stay in the car, okay? On the other end, pull the tape off the lights. Good to go. Did you pay? Yeah, we paid. That's what Pastor Joy and I drove. And it must not have been so bad because everybody else on the campus borrowed it because they didn't have a car. We're living by faith, man. 600-square-foot apartment, two kids. It was a challenging time of our life that I wouldn't take anything for. They were the good days. They were the days when God began to mold and shape me as a man of faith. They were the days when I trusted him when I had nothing else to trust. 600-square-foot apartment. All my friends in school are telling me, hey, man, you can get food stamps. Man, you ain't making no money. I'm working 2 days a week. My wife's working at the funeral home trying to put me through college. Two kids. So I went, they said, look, you can apply for food stamps, man. You'll get accepted. So I go down to Polk County Courthouse, and I sit in the yard under a tree, and I filled out an application with an ink pen for food stamps. And I got ready to sign my name on it, walked back to the front desk, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't do this. I'm going to take care of you. And I go to that mailbox, 1000 Longfellow Boulevard, Lakeland, Florida, 23801. I'll never forget it. And I'd open up that mailbox, and guess what? There'd be a coin in the fish's mouth. I'd open that mailbox, and Joy said, honey, did we get any mail? I said, yeah, we got a couple of pieces of mail. She said, no, I mean any real mail. Yeah, we did. Your mom sent us $10. Yeah, we did. Jeanette Smith sent us $40. Who's Jeanette Smith? This is a beautiful story. Jeanette Smith was a woman who heard me preach. And she said, at the end of the service, she said, when you preach, I hear God's voice. She said, there's an anointing on your life, young man, and I want to support you. I've been in the ministry for 42 years, and that woman who heard me preach has sent me $40 a month. For 42 years. Okay. Why is that, Reese? Because of faith. God's called me to live by faith. Well, you can say that now. You got a nice waterfront home. You know how I got that waterfront home? By faith. It's the only home I've ever had. And God wanted me to have it so bad, he gave me half of it. I paid people, they give me my money back. I write the check for this, and then and 10 days later in the mail, hey, when you paid me the other day, the Holy Spirit told me, here's a man you cannot charge. And God gave me the money back. Okay? A guy did my landscape. I didn't know what he did. He did my landscape, and he came and worked 6 o'clock in the morning. His team got out there, planted grass, graded bushes, shrubbery, fertilizer, the whole thing, worked all day long, 12 hours. At the end of the day, I went over and I said, hey, man, how much I owe you? And I paid him. He said, man, I appreciate your business. 10 days later, I get a letter in the mail. My check was in there. He said, I pulled out of your driveway and was going down the road, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you cannot charge this man. I buried a man yesterday named Sonny Hall. He attended this church for a long time. My framing bill for my house when I built it was $21,000, just to get 2 befores up, that's all. Not the house as a whole, just 2 befores, framed in, ready to do some work, $21,000. I got ready to pay him. He said, oh, don't write that check. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't write it for $21,000. He said, just give me $2,100. Okay. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about that which the Lord is trying to pull so many of you into, faith. Faith in Christ. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. We're backed up against the wall. I've been backed up against the wall on the other side of the wall. Many times. I've been on the other side of the wall. I've been defeated, broke, busted, and disgusted, embarrassed. And the God who told me, don't do the food stamps, fed me every meal. I sat at the table many times with Joshua, my son, Abigail, and we were sitting at the table. What's wrong? I'm the father. I'm the head, right? What's wrong, Josh? This is all we have. So I get that. I'm sorry. Mom and Dad are doing the best that they can do. But you know what I watched up my son do, my daughter do? I watched them grow up to be men and women of faith. Men and women of faith. Today, 138 souls being baptized in Raleigh. Got a text message this morning. Hey, Dad, pray for us. We're baptizing people today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I said, go on, Pastor Jeremy. Okay. I'm telling you, man, you cannot lose with faith. You cannot. Some of you are struggling this morning, and we're going to open up this altar in a minute, and your struggles, hear me, are going to be lifted because faith is going to be activated in your life. Check this out. Don't miss this. Somebody ought to Facebook this. Faith hears the inaudible. Faith sees the invisible. Faith does the impossible. Come on now. Faith does it. Why? That's what faith is. Faith pleases God. Romans 4:3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham, think about it. He didn't have a Savior to die on the cross for him. So what did God accept? Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Why is faith important? Because faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Some of you are struggling, but the struggles that you have, this is going to be hard for you, but I got to say it. Some of you are struggling, but the struggles that you have are struggles that you created. Don't blame God for where you are. You charted the path to where you are right now. You got yourself there, and you want God to get you out, and God will get you out, but you've got to trust him. Come on here. In faith, God, I repent of what I've done. I made a mess of my stuff. I jacked up my own life. But God, I'm trusting you to bring me out. And when you do, God, I will exalt you. I will do better, Lord. I know some of you say, well, you know, I don't know about that. No, I know. You know why I know? Because I've been right there so many times. Lord, I made a mess of it. And God has snatched me out so many times and put my feet on something solid. And the older I get, the more I love Jesus. The older I get, the more I trust him. Ah, the old timers used to sing, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You know, that's the truth. I'm going to tell you something, man. I know a man named Jesus, and he gave his life for me, and I trust him. Matthew 6:33 kills it all. It just kills it, man. I love it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Oh, what are all these things? Provision, blessing, possibilities, destiny, everything. You trust Jesus, and everything else will take care of itself. Why? Because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Worship team, join me here. Thirdly, how do I get faith? Well, you were born with the capacity of faith. Check this out. Everybody, say, I was born with faith. Every man was given a measure of faith. Every man. Romans 12, verse 3. God has distributed to each of you. King James Version. God hath dealt. You played cards before? God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. So you got faith. But some of y'all have not enlarged it, increased it, stretched it. Haven't done anything with it. Haven't even activated it. In fact, you can't even get saved without faith. And the moment is coming. We are coming down to the wire here in this service. Some of you's heart is just sitting there right now, because the Holy Spirit has laid his finger on you. And this moment comes, and you just say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to get it right." And you won't come to the altar. You won't activate your faith. Activate your faith. You got to activate it, man. You just got to say, "God, here I am." And the reason why is because James says it so clearly in James 2:17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. I'm going to make a statement here that's going to shock some of you, but I'm going to say it. There is a faith that will not save. Let that sink in for a second. Let me clarify myself. I can see somebody posting me on TikTok now. This is what Pastor Philip said. Get the whole thing. There is a faith that will not save. You were born with a measure of faith, right? I just told you by the Word of God. But if you don't activate that faith and say, "Lord, save me," you have a faith that will not save. Faith without works is dead. Are y'all got that now? Before you go out of here and say something stupid. Faith without works is dead. You must activate it. I'm just going to ask you right now to activate your faith. I don't know what you're going through, where you find yourself. I need some preachers here, some ministers, please. Come on, guys, help me out. I need some altar workers, some preachers, some ministers. Just line up across this front. You do such a good job ministering to people. Ask you if you want to activate your faith today relative to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm not where I should be. Pastor, I want to be, I want to get it right. Pastor, I just want to come clean with the Lord. Pastor, you're right. You nailed it today. I'm not walking in faith even for salvation where I should be. I want you right now, my count to three. And when I hit three, I want you to stand. Don't think about it. You should go. Stand up. One, two, three. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. That's it. Now come on down. Come on. This is my faith. I'm activating my faith. Activating my faith. I need some more help here. Ministers, those who can pray people to salvation, come on. Pastor Joy, would you help us here? Come on. You're activating your faith today. You're activating your faith today. Faith for salvation. Faith for righteousness in Christ Jesus. Faith to walk out this relationship with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, if you need healing in your body, if you need something from the Lord today, you say, Pastor, I need a touch from God. I'm just struggling. Sure, I've got relationship issues, financial matters, whatever it is. Listen, I can tell you, I'm a human example. God will meet your needs. He will. He will do it. Hallelujah. Get it. Get it. Just come. Stand in line. It'll be worth the wait. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise today, would you? Listen, you altar workers, you have cards there. Listen, if you're at the altar and you came forward activating your faith for something, okay, please fill out the card, because you know what? We're responsible. I'm responsible. I'd like to call you and say, hey, I saw you were praying for whatever. I'd like to reach out to you and say, hey, I just care about you, okay? Just want to follow up with you. You made a decision on Sunday. Maybe it was a rededication. Someone down here on the end said, hey, I was saved before, but man, this is incredible. Is it possible that I could be baptized again? All right? Amen? Just put your heart down there. We receive you where you are, okay? We receive you where you are. Father, I bless you. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for salvation for the lost today. Thank you for rededication for those who have made a fresh commitment to the things of God. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I thank you that your word is true. When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and you open the altars, people will respond. Lord, help us to preach the truth. Help us to not compromise. Help us to preach the truth of your word. For those that are watching online, Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. If there are individuals that need to make a comment, do it. We'll respond to you. We'll respond to you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. I'm getting a stomach issue. Somebody's got an issue in their stomach. Please, please come. I'm just right now, I'm getting an issue. Somebody's got an issue in your stomach, your digestion. Something's not right, and you know it's not right. Just come. Amen. Pastor Mike. In your digestion, your stomach, just come. Just come and listen. It sounds mighty general, but let the Lord do it, okay? Here you go. Right here. That's a doctor coming. There's a doctor right there. Doctors have problems too. Come on. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I was telling my story today. I didn't plan on just elaborating on my own personal story of struggle. And I was in the midst. Think about it. I was in the midst of a major step concerning God's call on my life, Lewis. Major step. Wife, two kids. It works on a husband when you know you're supposed to be the provider. And for 4 years, my wife was the provider. For 4 years, my wife, she put in her 40 hours every week so that I could be a student in college, so that I could go to Bible college. When I graduated, I went and had two t-shirts printed. One for Josh, one for Abby. They were white shirts with red print. And they simply said on the front, "My dad graduated from SEC and I helped." Okay. I helped him. My kids helped because they sacrificed. They did. They sacrificed. Meals we didn't have, you know, we didn't have regular meals. Sometimes we didn't have what we wanted. But we had food. Our Christmas used in a black trash bag dropped off on the steps. Merry Christmas, kids. You know? Yeah. Everybody has a story, okay? Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. Pastor, you're living in high cotton now. I still have my challenges, friends, okay? I still have my challenges. As long as you're in this life, you will have troubles, okay? Okay? But how many of you found him to be a faithful God? Come on. Praise the Lord. He's a faithful God. Faithful God. Pastor Joy, come on, dear. I want to thank you right in front of all of my friends here. I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you have made all of these years. Come on, give it up for the First Lady of the House. She's made a sacrifice. She's followed me all over the earth, okay? What do you think, baby? Whatever you decide, I'm with you. That's what she would say. I'm with you. And I thank God for her love and her compassion for people. Thank God for the anointing on her life. Come on. And I just want her to pray over you today. Amen. That you will be people who know how to activate your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. God love you.
What a wonderful message today that reminds us that we are to deepen our faith and continually deepen our faith. You know, it doesn't happen overnight most of the time. There are some people that just immediately have huge amounts of faith. But I think through every wilderness that we walk through, through every challenge that we overcome, through every time we see God's hand work a miracle in our lives, I think our faith is built. Our faith is built. Our faith is built. And you know, we get to that place that we do have great faith. And you know what? That doesn't mean that it's not challenged, because the bigger the faith, the bigger the challenges. Let's just be real here. So let's pray today as we go out that we have faith, not only for ourselves, but for other people. As you minister to other people, as you share the love of God with other people. You know, everywhere we go, we always meet people that have needs, huge needs. And you know, if they don't have any faith in God, any belief in God, or anybody that has ever told them about the things that Jesus can do for us, then they're hopeless. So this week, determine that every day you're going to share hope. All right? Lord, we come to you. We thank you, Father, for today. We thank you, Lord, for a message that was hard, but also encouraging, because Lord, we want more faith. We want great faith. We want monumental faith. And Lord, we know that you're working in our behalf and that you have good for us. So Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to encourage us, that you would place people in our path that we can give that hope to, that we can share the love that you have over us to change us, to give us your son Jesus that died on a cross to save us from our sins, heal us from our infirmities, and Lord, that gives us eternal life. So we thank you, Lord, for that. So Father, today, Lord, help us leave. Keep us safe. Keep our ears open to hear you. And Lord, let us walk in the faith that you've given us, building it with every obstacle, building it with every miracle, building it with every time we see your hand extended to us. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Listen, if you make sure you turn in a card to your counselor that prayed with you. If you prayed today, make sure you turned in a card to them. And if you're a guest, please go by the Welcome Center in the foyer. We have a gift for you. I'd love to have a record of your visit, a gift for you there. Someone will speak to you in the hallway there. God bless you all. Have a great day. Funeral services today, celebration services today, 2:00 for Rose White. God bless you guys.